ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hello, this is The Couch on ABC Radio National, a weekly discussion about new shows on the small screen. I'm Jason DeRosso. With me is Wenli Ma. And this week, Wenli, we're looking at two new Australian shows. Well, one of them isn't a new show, but it's
new-ish.
The new season. Yeah. We're going to be kicking off with Treasure and Dirt, which is set in the fictional opal mining town of Nulla, a kind of bleak tin shed red dust hamlet, and this is a crime thriller,
a outback noir, which is one of our favorite genres.
We've sort
in this
of
country
been here before. Yeah, motley outback population. It begins with a headless corpse found down a mine, and a big city detective flies in. He's used to working on his own. His name is Ivan Lucic. He's played by Michael Dorman. He's paired with a rookie investigator named Narelle, played by Liv Hewson. She's a former local cop, so she has history in this small town. She's been away. Mm. She's come back, newly promoted. And the corpse, wouldn't you know it, is not the only mystery to unravel. Everyone seems to have secrets. And the show cryptically alludes to them, and sometimes not so cryptically alludes to them, in the first episode, which I think has some pacing issues. There is also a mysterious cult.
A small town must have a cult.
That have bought up many of the town's mines, and that's led by a bearded, scrawny guy named David the Seer. And he's played pretty well, I think, by the actor and filmmaker Thomas M. Wright. Look, the show has prestige TV promise. Does it deliver? That's what we're going to tell you in just a moment, but here's a taste.
Nobody lives as town detective. It's got a funny way of sinking its teeth into you.
How can I help you?
We're here to check in.
Oh, you're the fuzz. You're here for the whole, like, decapitation business thing. Yeah, that's probably been one of the best things that ever happened in the Golden View Motel.
I was stationed here when I was in uniform.
Taught young Narelle everything she knows. Now she's back for more.
Victim's 42. He was found at the bottom of his opal mine.
You fly solo?
Yeah, just me and the flies.
You heard that?
Yeah, I heard that.
These people, they haven't got much, except hope in the ground, and not much of that either.
Their commune, that's the largest claim in town.
We've got a warped sense of humour around here. Life underground will do that to you.
What are you thinking, Wenli?
I agree with you. There are pacing issues in that first episode, and it took maybe a third of the show for me to sort of settle into it. But I liked it more than I thought I would, because I know we just did The Killings of Harris Station a few weeks ago.
Very similar, isn't it?
Similar, like it's got kind of, you know, spooky vibes. You've got a quirky ragtag group of people, all of whom could potentially be the murderer. But I found this was a lot better than that.
The big resource sector is lurking in the,
yes,
on the periphery of this story as well.
Yeah. And like, this was shot in Cooper PD in South Australia, and that backdrop is so stunning. And I think they have done a much better job of making use of the environment around them. There are some really beautiful shots. There's some beautiful shots, like the caves and all the underground homes and stuff. It was definitely atmospheric. I do think there probably was a little too much going on, but there often is in this genre of shows.
Look, I think, yes, it looks great. It looks like almost like the sort of series you'd make if you wanted to make a calling card to move to the big screen, because it's sort of very widescreen. Mm. And if anything, there are some moments where, because I think there's an emotional core to this show that it never quite finds. Mm. And if anything, I was thinking, is it because we've got a lack of close-ups here, you know, that great
TV staple?
You think
it's missing intimacy?
I think it is a little bit. I mean, I know the point of Ivan Lucic is, and there are several books written about him. This show is based on the first book written by Chris Hammer, is that he is a bit of a closed book.
Yeah, he's a bit aloof.
I was a little disappointed, given that, with that slow reveal of his tragic backstory that has a lot to do with his Balkan ethnicity.
Yeah.
I didn't really, even though I think Matt Dorman is pretty good in this, I didn't really believe Michael Dorman. I'm sorry. I didn't believe that he was Ivan Lucic. And I thought, I wonder if he should have watched some interviews with former Socceroos of that sort of heritage and seen how they speak English. And, you know, I know he's a detective. He's not a sportsman. Mm-hmm. But there's something missing from the characterization of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not familiar with the book, so I sort of went into it blind and realised about halfway through that it was part of a book series. I wonder, though, if they are waiting to reveal more of that, if there are subsequent seasons.
Perhaps.
But I do think the production is very handsome, and ultimately, like, these two characters and Nell, who's played by Liv Hewson, they're a great Australian actor who's also done some stuff in international markets. I found the pairing of them worked.
But do you care? And did you care at any point about any of the mysteries that are sort of laid out for you in this buffet of, you know, crime thriller mystery?
Mostly. I did mostly. Like, I was intrigued as to what was going on with the mines. I was intrigued to an extent what was going on with the cult. Certainly the cops, the existing cops in the town, one of them played by the great Kiwi actor Sarah Pierce, you know, I found them quite abhorrent. And the mayor, what the unofficial self-declared mayor of this town, he's such a larger-than-life, like, over-the-top, again, abhorrent character.
Straight out of Priscilla, Queen of the
Desert,
or something.
Yeah, a little bit. But I did want to see them get their comeuppance, so I felt invested to a degree.
I just found all of these characters to be very well shot cardboard cutouts, in a way, from the pantheon of outback eccentrics that we've seen in Wake and Fright and Priscilla and other things. And there's only so much I'm interested in those kinds of characters. And I don't think this really... you know, we often describe problems with shows like this in terms of plot and there being too much plot. And I thought this was another example of there being a lot of plot.
It is very plotty because there's a lot going on. And, I mean, we haven't even mentioned the fact that there's basically like an underground fight club going on as well. And, of course, the murder victim and all the opal mines and all the various townspeople who does all seem to be somewhat at least peripherally involved in this mystery. So I do think it has a coherence and cohesion problem. But like, I found the vibes quite fun to be in. However, I do want to ask you, why do you think we do keep making these outback noir stories? Like, it seems like in Australian television, there seems to be two settings, really. It's the suburban Sydney or Melbourne or, you know, the city story, or there is this very specific outback thing.
I think they sell. I think they sell to international... international broadcasters, first of all, and because there's such stunning,
it does look good.
Such stunning landscapes. Yeah, and I think it's become a genre that people can quite easily dip into and make something with. You know, I'm just going back though to that Fight Club. I think this show had a potential for some really interesting and exciting and thrilling action sequences, and it almost never delivers on that either, which I think is where you can start to feel the cheapness of it, the relative cheapness of it. Like, it's not like a kind of Breaking Bad where you have these extended sequences or even The Sopranos and you go, wow, this is really legitimately, authentically exciting. It's nothing like that here, and I think the soundtrack really leans in. I mean, some of the jump scares lean into the soundtrack so heavily. And then there's the ominous drones and I don't know. I was not into I think it looks great and there's everyone's kind of pulling together in the right direction and in the same direction, but Treasure and Dirt for me just doesn't get there.
I'm hotter on it than you are, and there were definitely some performances I liked, which also includes Eamon Farron, who was actually in the newer Twin Peaks revival about 10 years ago. He's this sort of dastardly, potentially like mysterious billionaire who's also maybe guilty. Who knows? Yeah. They all are.
Yeah, that's true. Look, we've been talking about Treasure and Dirt. We've got to move on, but it is 6 one-hour episodes available to stream on ABC iView or on ABC TV. It goes to air every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Okay, the next show was made by the same production company that made or was heavily involved in Treasure and Dirt, and it's Easy Tiger. But this is Colin from Accounts. It is the show that is arguably one of our best comedic exports of the streaming era, if not the best.
Oh, for sure. Yes, I agree.
Harriet Dyer and Patrick Bramall are back playing their alter egos, Gordon and Ashley. They've split up since season two, but here they're coming back for the third and final season. They cross paths in the first episode, and do they still hold a torch for each other even though they're with new, you know, partners? Of course they do.
Of course they do. It's a rom-com.
You proposed to me drunk out of nowhere at my best friend's wedding.
I was being spontaneous.
You didn't have a ring. It was just, it was embarrassing.
The way we met, if I'd have been 8 seconds earlier or later, we wouldn't have been there. I wouldn't have flashed my nipple.
Sir?
Go away.
Right you are.
I really love him too, don't I?
Do you?
You are.
Straight people.
My name's Gordon. What's your name?
Lucy.
Lucy?
Yeah.
Thought we're doing real names.
I just met you.
Still, will they? Won't they? Who cares?
Whoa.
You're not going to propose that.
He could.
No. Not only do I not find you attractive, Gordon, I actually physically find you a bit off-putting. With your scraggly face and your f***ing bitch hips.
Bitch hips?
Yeah, bitch hips, bitch.
The bitch hips was nice.
That was great. Will they, won't they, who cares? I care. I feel like everyone cares.
Yeah, yeah. I think this was just spectacularly good. I mean, you know, there are a couple of bits that don't quite work, but this is an Australian cringe comedy that doesn't make you cringe.
It doesn't make you cringe. It makes me laugh, and it's so recognisably of our culture, but at the same time there's a freshness to it in the dialogue, in the jokes.
There is. And, you know, I was a bit critical of moments, I think, especially the second season that didn't really work. And I was thinking, is this maybe a bit too sort of vanilla, and some of the peripheral characters weren't properly integrated into the main story? I think all of those problems have gone here in the four episodes we were allowed to see.
Yes,
right?
We've seen four out of eight.
But I think it's just brilliant. It's hit its stride. Again, I don't know, arguably, I just find it so funny. It is about, it's marinating in Australian middle class inner urban anxieties. It's daggy. And just all that cringy stuff is great.
Yeah, it's daggy in a sharp way, because I think this show does have elbows, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't treat its characters with kid gloves. It's not afraid to show them as sometimes being, you know, ratbags and assholes and treating people badly. And there are, I'm not going to say specifically what it is, there are certain story beats in those first four episodes where you kind of go, oh, have they pushed it to the point that maybe we're not going to like them anymore? We're not going to, you know, root for them. But it does so in a way where you're like, yeah, but these are the two people that I want to see end up together. And that was the promise of the show.
Yeah, that's true. And they do. It is this 360 degree scattergun offense machine sometimes, this show, which all good shows in this genre are.
Mm.
And you're right. You know, the two characters we're really rooting for do terrible things. I mean, out of cowardice, out of politeness, they drag everyone into their mess, including really kind of innocent people and other good people who really don't deserve it. And that's great. It's juicy to watch.
It is juicy to watch. And you're right. I think some of the supporting ensemble does get to, they feel more bedded in this season as well.
Yeah.
I mean, even just thinking of Virginia Gay's character, who is now the wife of Harriet Dyer's character's best friend.
Yeah.
When she was introduced last season, like, it was hilarious that she was this overly, just a very over-the-top person in terms of her politics and her faith and her beliefs, and now she feels like a real person.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of those peripheral characters feel more like real people. I think also even the new kind of new partners of each of them, because they're both in the new relationships, and that's part of the will they or won't they, are also well-drawn.
Yeah, they're very lived in.
And they are both treated terribly.
And they have dynamics with our two key characters.
Yeah.
With Gordon and Ashley.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do feel like they've been in their lives for a couple of years. So it's not just like, and here is this brand spanking new person.
No. And the dog's still here. Look,
The dog is cute.
Yeah. I think this is a glorious send-off for these characters and this world. I think it really works. So it's a winner for me. It is the third and final season, unfortunately, you'd argue, of Colin from Accounts.
I wish there would be more.
Yeah.
But I I mean, we haven't seen the ending, so for us, there is still more, and I'm very excited to see how it goes.
All right, and that's the third and final season, as we said, streaming over at Binge, new episodes each week. That is it from me, Jason DeRosso, and The Couch, and it's it from you as well, Wenli.
I'm Wenli Ma.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.